4, chapter 5, chapter 7. In chapter 4, we'll read verses 9 through 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are and were created. Chapter 5, begin reading with verse 11. Beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne in their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now these passages, though I'm using them as the text, that's only for the purpose of establishing the central thought of the message. We're not going to, it's not our intent to really look at these verses or give any detail, but just to establish our thought. In each of these verses, each of these three passages, there is a heavenly scene. And each serves as a pattern for you and I. In each, we see that there are heavenly beings in the before throne of God, Christ, and they're glorifying God. You see the word glory in each of these passages. And each time it is in the context of unto God. So it is glory unto God. In chapter 4, verse 9, it's glory to him. Chapter 4, verse 11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. Chapter 5, verse 12, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory. Chapter 5, verse 13, Glory unto him. Chapter 7, verse 12, Glory unto our God. So it is a scene of the heavenly host glorifying the Lord. And as you read the passages, you cannot help but notice that this host is glorifying God, but you also can't help but notice that they are enjoying God. And that's our subject tonight. Glorify God, enjoy God. The two go hand in hand. Glorify God, enjoy God. They're vitally connected. Glorify God. Enjoy God. They're cyclic. It's a cycle. That is, glorify God, enjoy God, glorify God, etc. In other words, the more that we glorify God, the more we enjoy God. And the more we enjoy God, the more we will glorify God. In other words, again, if you glorify God, you will enjoy God. And if you enjoy God, you will glorify God. So it's really a wonderful cycle to live in. They're not many. professors of salvation, that it could truly be said that they lived their life overall enjoying God. They lived their life overall enjoying God. And the reason for that, of course, is they don't live life glorifying God. Now let's go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to read verses 28 and 29. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And over in 1 Corinthians 10, we're using more scripture than we normally do, but 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So in both of these passages, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, there's an exhortation to give glory to God. And this is something that is promoted in both the Old Testament and the New Testament in many, many, many places. Psalm 22:23, glorify Him. Glorify Him. Just a simple statement. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Psalm 68:12, there's the resolve of the psalmist. He says, I will glorify thy name forevermore. In Isaiah 24:15, glorify ye the Lord. Do so in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. The purpose of seeing your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Romans 15, verse 6, Paul prayed that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify God. We also see that it was the desire of Christ that God be glorified. And it was his intent, of course, to glorify the Father. He said in John 12:28, Father, glorify thy name. He desired for God the Father to be glorified. John 17:1, he said, "From Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Why? That thy Son may also glorify thee." Glorify God. Enjoy God. So the first thing we want to consider, what is it to glorify God? 1 Chronicles 16, 28 and 29 again. We read, give unto the Lord glory. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, we read, do all to the glory of God. Of God. Now think about that statement. Do all to the glory of God. Do. That of course speaks of an act. Do all. Okay, now we're talking about the extent of the act. How far do we carry this act? Do all. Two, that speaks of motion, direction. It's the motion and direction of the act. Then you have the word the definitive, describing something very definite. Do all to the glory of God. The word God, of course, speaks of the object of the act. He's the one that we do the act to. So again, give unto the Lord glory. Do all to the glory of God. What does that mean? What is it to give glory to God? We first need to understand how the word glory is used in the Bible. It's used as a verb, it's used as a noun. The word glory in 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Chronicles 16, we said it was descriptive of an act, and it is. And the word glory also in the Bible speaks of the nature of God. It speaks of who God is. And we must never confuse the two. The word glory conveys the idea of radiance, beauty, and magnificence. That is, in relation to the Lord. When it's talking about who God is, the glory of God is the radiance, the beauty, and the magnificence of God. For example, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the beauty and the magnificence of God. So there is the intrinsic glory of God. The glory, the radiance, the beauty, the magnificence of who He is. It is the manifestation of His attributes. And we don't give this to Him. It's His. It's His. It belongs to Him. We cannot add anything to the person of God. Now we read in 1 Chronicles 29 and 11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. It belongs to Him. 1 Chronicles 29, 13, we read, Thy glorious name. His name declares who He is. So glory belongs to God. It's His. Speaking of, He's radiant in beauty and magnificence. In Psalm 24, 7, He's referred to as the King of glory. It belongs to Him. Isaiah 2, verse 10, verse 19, verse 21, we read of the glory of His majesty. Again, talking about the person of God, the radiance, the beauty, and the magnificence of His majesty. The glory of God. We don't give that to Him. It's His. It belongs to Him. And then we're exhorted to give glory unto the Lord. And to do all to the glory of God. But that does not in any way refer to you and I adding to what He is by nature. But we are to glorify God. So in the verses that we read in Revelation, the inhabitants of heaven are glorifying God. And what were they doing? Well, we know they were glorifying God, but what were they doing in that act? Well, they were honoring Him. They were praising Him. They were worshiping God. They were giving joyful tribute to God. They were expressing gratitude to God. They are basically celebrating God. And in doing so, they are pointing to God or Christ. They are pointing to Him. They are directing attention to the Lord. They're promoting Him. That's what it means to glorify God. We point to Him. We draw attention to God. We promote the Lord. It's what Paul spoke of in Philippians 1, verse 20. He said, Christ shall be magnified in my body. To magnify is to increase the perception of something. He'll be magnified in me. That is, people will be able to see Him in me. He is saying, I am going to show forth the person of God with my life. I'm not adding to God. I'm not adding to who He is. I cannot do that. But to give glory to God means we show forth who God is. We show forth the person of God. And in doing so, we call attention to God. And we're to do that in everything, whether we eat or drink. We are to point to Him. So we see what it is to glorify God. Now, to what extent are we to glorify God? Well, there in 1 Chronicles, we're to give Him the glory due unto His name. Can you and I do that? No. Not in these bodies. So we never fully achieve this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, again, do all to the glory of God. And that's in the context of whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You have two words there in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether and whatsoever. And those two words cover everything. That is, whether this happens or you do this or that, and whatsoever comes to pass, you glorify God. That's our responsibility. Now, the context of do all unto to the glory of God is found there in 1 Corinthians 10, with verses 25 through 30, where Paul addresses some debatable issues of his day. He talks about the eating of things that had not been offered, that had been offered in sacrifice to idols. Verse 25, he brings across the situation of buying and eating meat in the meat market. He's saying, when you go to the meat market, buy the meat that you want to buy, and do not make it a matter of whether or not the meat is a result of public sale, that the meat in the market for public sale has been sacrificed or not. What he's saying is the meat in the market for public sale has lost its character as a sacrifice, so you don't have to concern yourself with that. Verse 26, the reason why it's okay to buy meat and eat that which is given to idols is given, and that is simply God is the proprietor and the giver of all things, and especially food for His children. Therefore, go ahead and eat it and do it to the glory of God. Go ahead and buy it and do it to the glory of God. And if you don't want to eat it, don't eat it for the glory of God. And if you don't want to buy it, don't buy it for the glory of God. But whatever you do it for the glory of God. Verses 27 through 30, the same issue is again set forth, but this time in a different setting. This time, a child of God is invited to the house of an unbeliever for a meal. And the host serves meat that has been sacrificed to an idol. Do you refuse to eat it? No, he says you go right ahead and eat it. But do it for the glory of God. And if you choose not to eat it, do that for the glory of God. So I believe what this is teaching us is the danger when it comes to a debatable issue is losing sight of the real issue, or the danger of coming to any issue is losing sight of the real issue, and the real issue always is glorify God. That's the issue. Glorify God. Paul, again, he's saying whether you eat or you don't eat, meat that is sacrificed to idols. That's not the issue. The issue is do all to the glory of God. God's people are very good at losing sight of what is the real issue. And they get hung up on all these little debatable things, and they almost declare you a heretic if you don't go along with it. And Paul says, do it to the glory of God. Or don't do it to the glory of God. But whatever it is, you do it to the glory of God. That's the issue. That is the real issue. Do all to the glory of God. It's a duty that covers all the actions of life. Whether it be personal issues, do all to the glory of God. Whether it be relationship issues, do all to the glory of God. Whether it be a career issue, do all to the glory of God. Whether it be a church issue, do all to the glory of God. That is the real issue. Do all to the glory of God. In relation to this, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, glorify God in your body. That's the physical, that's the outward. Glorify God outwardly and in your spirit. That's the inward. We're seeing the extent of this glorifying God. It covers all actions of life, and it covers our entire being, our body and our spirit. All things and our entire being. That means if it involves my entire being, I am to give glory to God in all my feelings, in all my thoughts, and in all my acts, I am to give glory to God. Which is, I am to give evidence of God. I am to call attention in my life, or verbally, either way, should be both. I am to call attention to the greatness of God. Who God is. And I'm to do so in my feelings, in my thoughts, and in my acts. Someone will say, well, I have some bad feelings, but I'm just going to keep them to myself. Well, you don't, because God sees them, and your feelings are to be to the glory of God. Everything about us is to be to the glory of God. So we must ask ourselves and we must make personal examination. Is that what my feelings, my thoughts, and my acts are saying? Look at God. Look at God. Am I drawing attention to God? So we see the act itself. We see the extent of the act. Now notice the importance of the act. This is seen from several aspects. It is seen, first of all, from the aspect that God is the object of the act. And it is also seen from the extent of the act, and also from the context it is seen. It is the main issue. How important is this? It's the main issue. Well, I've got a lot of things going on in my life. That may be so. But the main issue is I'm to give glory to God. That's the main issue. We got all this nonsense going on in our country. The main issue is that you and I give glory to God. The subject of the debate. You can debate many things, but the subject of the debate is not the main issue. The main issue is, if you're going to debate it, do it to the glory of God. You can be debating for truth's sake, but you can do it in a way that's dishonoring to God. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to debate truth, or for the sake of truth, do it for the glory of God. And again, the opening word there in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 is whether, and then notice ye. Whether ye. And you put whatever you want at the end of those two words, and this is the issue. Do all to the glory of God. Well, what if, regardless of the issue, regardless of the issue you are faced with, never remove this from the issue. Do all to the glory of God. My wife is about to leave me. My husband is about to leave me. This is happening. This is happening. do all to the glory of God. That's your responsibility. You can't necessarily control what they do, but your responsibility is to do all to the glory of God. That's the main issue. In other words, again, he uses the word weather. The word weather introduces alternatives. In other words, when you and I are faced with alternatives, no matter what the alternatives are, you do all to the glory of God. It's important we don't lose sight of this. Do all to the glory of God. Put yourself in the mob situations, the mob mentality, and you're feeling anger, and you pick up a brick and throw it through a window. And you do so in your mind for a righteous cause. I'm sorry. That is not doing that to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Put whatever you want on the other side of whether ye. Do all to the glory of God. Don't ever remove that. Our entire perspective of life is to be do all to the glory of God. Husbands and wives can have problems, they can have difficulties, and the first alternative usually is, I'm just going to leave. Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. And you don't do that going against Scripture. I don't care what the other person did. Do all to the glory of God. That's what is to govern everything regarding our lives. Do all to the glory of God. As we live in the world, we have worldly responsibilities, every one of us do. We have worldly concerns, and these are important. We're not minimizing their importance. The earthly responsibilities we have are important. Our earthly concerns are important, at least to us. But the matter of approach should be, do all to the glory of God. In all my responsibilities, I'm to do all to the glory of God. In all my concerns and all my burdens, I'm to do all to the glory of God. There's no room for carelessness in this matter. Do all to the glory of God. That's to be the motivating power of our lives. It should be our manifesto. I'm going to live unto the glory of God. It should be our greatest goal. I want to do everything to the glory of God. I want to call attention to God. I want to promote God. That can never be wrong. Never. Do all to the glory of God. All of our other goals. You can have earthly goals. You can have earthly desires. You can have earthly ambitions. You can have earthly plans. But they must be subservient to this. Do all to the glory of God. This is the main issue. Do all to the glory of God. This is to be our goal. It's to be our drive. It's to be our yearning. You know what that means? It means that I have to forget myself. It means I have to lay aside my own agenda. Might have to lay aside my own likes or my own dislikes. And I may, in order that I may do all to the glory of God, it's not about my likes. It's not about your likes. It's not about our dislikes. It's not about our plans. It's not about our agenda. It's about doing all to the glory of God. Oh, that we would learn this lesson. Never forget, this is always the foundational issue at hand. It's a foundational topic. We've seen what it is to glorify God. Why? Why glorify God? Why should we? Well, Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We are to glorify God because of who He is. We are to radiate in our lives His power, His love, His mercy. By radiate, I simply mean we are to call attention to the power, the love, the mercy, the wisdom, the grace of who He is. Why? Because He gave you life. Because He is our Creator. He gave us our being. And therefore, whether saved or unsaved, man has a responsibility to glorify God. Because He gave us being. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you see another reason that you and I, this of course would apply to the saved, were to give glory. You are bought, verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because He bought them. And they're God's if He didn't buy them, because He gave you being. Give glory to God. We're to magnify, we're to amplify, we're to call attention to Him because of His saving grace. We're not to call attention to ourselves, we're to call attention to Him because He gave us life, because He saved our soul. Glorify God. Our very reason for existence, whether saved or unsaved, is for this purpose, to glorify God. Call attention to God. Those that are looting, committing criminal acts, they're not glorifying God. That's not a manifestation of God. That's a manifestation of Satan. Glorify God. And that's everyone's responsibility. Thirdly, how do we glorify God? How do we do that? I mean, it's easy to just say, glorify God. Well, how do I do that? How do I glorify God? Well, a lot of it is what it is to glorify God, but there are some things that have to take place if we're going to glorify God. In Psalm 16, verse 8, the psalmist David said, I have set the Lord always before me. I always see the Lord, he's saying. He's right there, he's before me. What he's saying is, the Lord is the ultimate in his life. He's absorbed in the person of God. He has an obsession. He has a single-mindedness for God. And that is, and God is his aim, God is the direction of his life. That has to be so if we are going to live consistently a life glorifying to God. He must be the pervasive reason for everything that we are and everything that we do. That has to be our mindset. If you're going to do something nice for someone, you ought to do it for the glory of God. You don't just do it for them. You're doing it because this is going to call attention to God. I am promoting God in this act. If we're going to live, going to consistently live a life bringing glory to God, again, I set the Lord before me. You have to have a heart for God. You have to have a feeling. You have to have an emotion for God that is beyond human description. And this involves knowing God by way of personal experience, by way of personal association and contact and friendship. It involves a personal love for Him. If you love God, you want to bring Him glory. If you have no desire whatsoever to glorify God, you don't love Him. You desire to promote the good of someone that you love. And we are to promote God. It is a love without reservation. A love willing to give all, endure all, and go all the way. That individual will live their life giving glory to God. There must be a personal delight in God. You have to have a pleasure in God. Personal desire for God. An inclination toward God. There has to be a seriousness about God. There are many who claim to be God's people and they're not serious about God at all. God is not a serious matter to them. You can't glorify God. You're not even going to think to do so if He's not serious to you, if it's not a matter of seriousness. And that seriousness will cause us to be set apart and surrender to God. We'll be willing to relinquish all for God. We'll be willing to stoop for Him and forget all about ourselves because it's for Him. And where this exists, there will be a desire to glorify God. So we need to ask ourselves, do I have a desire? Do I have a longing in my heart to glorify God? Do I have a longing in my heart to call attention to God? The next time someone does you wrong and you're feeling hurt and you're feeling angry and bitter and whatever else, in that moment, remind yourself, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Get past all those things and act for the glory of God. Call attention to God. Forgive the person that did you wrong. Calling attention to God. Well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. They don't have to ask. You forgive them because you want to glorify God. Holding unto it does not glorify God. Well, you don't know what they did. That's just utter foolishness. Give glory to God. And we see this desire to bring glory to God. Notice in Galatians 1 verse 5, we read, to Him, to whom be glory forever and ever. He's expressing a desire. Ephesians 3 verse 21, very familiar verse, but we're just concerning ourselves with a small part of it. Unto Him be glory. He's expressing a desire. Unto Him be glory. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 20. Philippians 4, verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Someone compliments you. Someone tells you, you're a blessing to my life. Say, glory to God. He's to get the glory. Not us. Draw the attention away from ourselves and draw it to God. That might offend some people. So be it. All the glory is to go to God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Again, he's expressing a desire that God be glorified. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, the last part of that verse, he says, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And after each of these, you see that word, amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, latter part of the verse again, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's the expression of a desire that God be glorified. When we get up and start a new day, our desire ought to be, I want to glorify God today. 1 Peter 5, verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So you see, over and over, there's this expression of a desire that God be glorified. And the response at the end of each one is, amen. And when we hear God say, give glory to God, give glory to Him, we're to say, that's, amen is to be our heart's response. Amen to that. He deserves all the glory. All the glory. Live to the glory of God. That's our responsibility. Do all to the glory of God. Again, this should be our greatest goal. All other goals, all other desires, all other ambitions, all other plans are to converge upon this, give glory to God, do all to the glory of God. It's to be our drive, it's to be our yearning. Do all to the glory of God. Again, forget myself, forget agenda, forget likes and dislikes. Do all to the glory of God. Never forget this. It's the foundational issue at hand. Do all to the glory of God. Glorify God. Enjoy God. You live your life with the desire to glorify God. You live your life bringing glory to God. And what I mean by that is you live out the worth of God. You show people the worth of God with your life. And you want to do everything to show forth the person of God. You'll enjoy God. And it's sad today that so many have no enjoyment of the Lord. To enjoy God, you have to be satisfied in God. You don't enjoy something if you're dissatisfied. You enjoy that which you're satisfied with. We enjoy God when we're satisfied with Him. And the more we seek to glorify Him, the more satisfied we'll be and the more we'll enjoy Him. You almost have to ask some people, God's people, are you bored with God? The Lord asked that question. Really, He didn't use the word bored. He said, wherein do I weary thee? Same thing. Are we bored with God? Because if you're bored with God, you'll not glorify Him. And these people that say, well, we have to make the church services more entertaining. Are they bored with God? If they are, what can we do? If you're bored with God, you're not going to enjoy God. You have to be deeply satisfied with God. And you'll glorify God. And the more you glorify God, the further you will enjoy God. We live terribly. You know what I mean. Most of you probably felt the same way. The array of emotions that I've had since all this has started is just off the charts. It's tiring. It's in these days you have to realize what's going on is not the main issue. What's going on is not the main issue. The main issue is God. The main issue for me, for you, is to bring glory to God. God help us to be a people individually. God help us to be a church that glorifies God in everything that we say and everything that we do. We need to glorify God. If you are, I've been there many, 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 many times. Someone wants to talk about an issue. And sometimes I have to tell them, now's not the time. Because I'm not sure I could talk about it right now and bring glory to God. If you're going to face a problem, make sure you're in a position to bring glory to God. People have long memories when we do that which is shameful. So do all to the glory of God. For the sake of your own testimony. And our testimony should be to the glory of God. God help us. Again, be in much prayer for one another. Do pray for Becky. Do continue to pray for Theta. Do continue to pray for Bill's brother-in-law who's in hospice. And Bill's family. And Greg Gordon's family. Continue to remember them. Pray for one another. Lord, give us the strength. Lord, give us the grace to do what we ought to do. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father.